Airing the Addisons.
Let me say this, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we've got to be careful and make sure that in everything, man, we are trying to get as close to what the word says as possible.
And we got to understand that with that type of wickedness, man, you know, God does not wink at that. That's judgment.
Promoting truth, wisdom, and empowerment.
And you don't have shades of truth. You have truth or you have error. You have fact or you have fiction.
And now we go into the thick of it.
Uh-oh.
Erin Addisons.
On American Family Radio, thank you so much for tuning in. This is Airing the Addisons.
Airing the Addisons.
Sorry, if I can't get it right. There really, truly is no hope if I can't get it right.
You got it.
Well, thank you so much. We are glad that you are tuned in. We are glad that you're spending an hour with the Addisons today. Look, I want to do this, and this is probably just by way of reset. I think people who listen to us are acquainted with what our aim is. Our program focuses on marriage and family and the church. And together, Will and I look at cultural trends and explore the effects of those cultural trends on the foundations of biblical morality. We explore how pop culture and current events threaten or war against the integrity of the gospel.
Yeah.
And in fact, the proliferation of the gospel. So when you tune in, that's our focus. That's what we're talking about. And our commentary is unapologetically filtered through a biblical lens.
Amen.
So if that's the program that you are interested in, then boy, have we got the hour for you.
That's right. Don't touch the dial.
If it's not the program that you're interested in, oh man, unfortunately, we're out of what you're looking for.
They have others.
You've got options.
Yeah.
You've got options.
Yeah.
But I want to say that I want to reset because I want people to understand what it is that we are absolutely convinced that the Lord has called us to do.
Mm-hmm.
Each person has a role that they fill in the body of Christ, and hopefully every Christian is holding the line. Now, it's a long line, okay? We can all hold at different places, but,
yeah,
you know.
We have to.
Please hold.
Yeah.
You understand?
Do your part.
And so one of the things that is the burden of our heart is the condition of the Christian family.
Yeah.
It's the condition of our marriages today,
Amen.
And it's the state of the church. So we focus on that. When we are talking about what's happening in the world today, we presuppose that we are talking to Christians who also care about what's happening in the world today as it portends the return of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, these things really point to the fact that we're almost home.
Oh, yeah.
As we often say, you know, sometimes when I close messages, close letters, say, man, we're almost home.
Yeah.
Keep holding the line. So anyway, I want to say that by way of reset, and we may do that again from time to time, just so that people understand what they're getting when they tune in. You know, every now and again, we may touch on something that falls outside of that, you know, that area of focus, but not normally. Normally, you're going to hear us talking about marriage, family, and the church. And then what you're going to see is that we're going to be using current events, pop cultural trends, to kind of use those things as a jumping point to talk about what's happening in the family.
And they are in abundance.
Sometimes it's like, man.
It's like, man, what do you start?
How do you decide which ones you're actually going to use?
Right.
So anyway, I say that. And if you like the program, if you are, you know, dialed in because you appreciate what we're doing here, then thank you so much. If you don't appreciate it, that's okay too. I mean, you know, not everybody, this is not for everybody. You may feel like, well, that's not something that I care about right now. I'm not interested in that. I will say this, and I say this respectfully. We had a huge political win in 2016. Huge. Our families are not better.
Come on.
The church is not more solid, right? The church is actually, I would say, man, it seems that the church was like, I don't know, in the crosshairs post-2016.
Yeah.
And so here we are, you know, if we expect that mere political wins or political wins alone is really going to change our families and going to change the landscape of our country, then we're sorely mistaken.
Yeah, and we're deceiving ourselves. We can, like you said, we can see that those things have not gotten better because of the political win.
That's right.
Praise God for the, you know, the
that was
win.
Mercy.
Yeah, because, you know, the gospel can continue to flourish,
yeah,
you know, in freedom. But man, we got to get to the work of being who we're supposed to be in Christ with our families, with our, you know, our children, raising disciples. You know, it starts there.
That's
it starts,
right.
And we can't ignore that. And to ignore that would just be, you know.
It's detrimental.
Yeah.
It's detrimental. And I think the enemy really banks on us not having a collective approach to what ails us.
Yeah.
You know, we've got to fight on the political front,
mm-hmm.
but we've also got to fight on the home front.
Amen.
And if we make political wins and political gains while losing our family, then we're losing.
Amen.
Because it's only a matter of time before the family that we've lost is actually operating in the political arena and you find yourself fighting against your own kids. Guys, we have to do all of it.
Yeah.
We have to do. Look, some of these Antifa, some of these protesters that are in the Gen Z, that are the millennials, they're fighting against their own parents who are conservatives.
Yeah.
And we got to stop and ask ourselves a question. How does that happen?
Yeah.
How does that happen? Yeah. Well, we've got to have a total fight is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like you've got to have a total fight
on both ends.
And you've got to realize that the enemy is hoping that you will have a back that's not covered.
Yeah.
Have a front that's not covered. And that's where he attacks.
And sometimes I think, you know, the political side can seem to be the easier side as far as not getting in there and doing the hard work of discipleship. We
that's
need
hard
both.
Work.
We
yeah,
need
we do.
Both. Like you said, you know, it's not either or, but we have to have an emphasis on what God is calling us to do with our families, with our churches, you know, and get on track.
That's right. Absolutely. Speaking of getting on track, this is an opportunity. this is an opportunity for us to do that. I'm sorry. This is why I don't read messages while we're doing the show live, right? Because it's like squirrel. Okay. So here's an opportunity for us to get on track. This week is, Truth for Youth, National Truth for Youth Bible Week, where you have an opportunity to get the Bible into the hands of Generation Z. We've been talking a lot about Generation Z.
Oh, man.
So if you got a kid between the ages of 13 and 18, the goal is to get a Bible into that kid's hand so that that kid can get a Bible into a friend's hand.
That's right.
And we can do this. Let me give you the website. The website is truthforyouth.com. You can order online, truthforyouth.com. The Bible is free with the promise to give it away.
Yeah.
All right? The Bible is free with the promise to give away. Give it away. If you want to order large quantities of the Truth for Youth Bible, then you can also go to truthforyouth.com. And there's a deal that's worked out. You order so many, you can get them at a great price. If you want to personally give them away at your church, within your youth group, you can do that. All of that information is available for you at truthforyouth.com. We see the effects of a lack of being versed in the scriptures.
Yeah.
We see the falling away, and the falling away includes our children.
Man.
And so if we can disciple our children to be bold witnesses, if we can equip our kids, arm them with the word of God and a robust defense of the faith, we might be able to stop the hemorrhage.
Yeah.
And I think it's worth investing the time.
Oh yeah. It's well worth it.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, man.
Come on. Oh, come on, man. Truthforyouth.com. We're going to talk some more about this as we continue through the week. And hopefully something will be stirred in your heart. Maybe as your young person is listening, something will be stirred in his or her heart that they would also want to get the word of God into the hands of one of their friends. The word of God will be precious to our children when it is precious to us. There's no way to get around that.
Yeah.
If your Bible is a coaster during the week, and then it's like, you know, something that fell from heaven on Sunday. Your kids see that.
Yeah.
They
oh,
see
yeah.
that. They
oh,
know
yeah.
that. So if you want the Bible
oh, man.
To be precious to your children, it must be precious to you. They must see it. They must know it. Right? Your faith has got to be real. Look, let me just say this real quick. Just a real quick example, and then we'll get into the thick of it. And it's thick today. It's thick. We'll get into the thick of it. Today I was going to make a quick run. I was rushing. Can I tell it? Well, it's just so humbling. It's so humbling.
You want to.
I do. I do. It's humbling.
You're so transparent, man.
Well, you know, that's just what I do. And I was going to make a quick run. And so I'm jumping in the car with two of the five. And I'm going to make a quick run. We're just, you know, let's go. And I thought the garage door stopped. I thought it was completely raised. And so I'm talking to the two that are with me, and we're kind of laughing. It's just kind of, you know, and then I hear, and then there's dead silence. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Man.
So, because I was backing out of the garage, right?
Yeah.
And I thought that the thing was completely up.
Yeah.
Turns out it was not completely up.
We always talk about how that thing go up slow and come down slow.
Yeah, but I wait usually, right?
Yeah.
And
you didn't hear anything.
I didn't hear anything.
Your man child
testified to the fact that he didn't hear anything either. Yeah. So I don't know. I think we were just engrossed in conversation.
Yeah, y'all laughing.
And so there it was. I backed up into the garage, damaged the vehicle, damaged the garage, couldn't get the garage up, couldn't get the garage down, couldn't get the vehicle out of the garage because it's stuck in a spot where you can't, nobody's getting in or out unless you're walking or unless you have a smaller vehicle, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I had a moment where I can freak out or I can display for my kids what it looks like to be a believer.
Mm.
Right? Like how is this going to turn out? Right? What am I going to do? So we get out and immediately the damage is obvious for everyone.
Yeah.
It's like, oh man. And so I said to them, well, guys, that was irresponsible of me. I said, you know what? I don't know what I was thinking. I was rushing. I said, this is a lesson why we need to take our time. We need to not always be rushing.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? We were killing it today. We're getting our schooling done, like having one of those really good days. I said, and then this. And so inside, though, I'm feeling panicked. So I'm like,
yeah,
I'm going to have to tell Will. Like, I don't know. Oh, my goodness. I can't, you know. But on the outside, I'm thinking, and I'm asking the Lord to help me. How do I display what it is to be a believer? So I said to them, I said, guys, I'm really upset about this. I'm really upset about this. And then we go inside, and I'm talking to them. And I put a little weight on them, on their shoulders, and they responded. And this is the weight I put on them. I said, guys, the Bible says in all things we're supposed to give thanks. And I said, look, I'm having a hard time finding the thanksgiving in this.
Yeah.
I said, can y'all help me? Can y'all help me? Can you help me with the thanksgiving in this? Because right now I just see disaster. I see disaster in French. That's all I see, you know, on the garage door, on the vehicle. I just see disaster. And so, you know, JD and Gabby, who were with me, they respond with just a litany of reasons for me to give thanks. Man, they just started rattling them off. Krah, 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 krah. Well, you should be grateful that it's not worse than it is. I mean, look at that. You know, you should be grateful, you know. And I thought, Lord, thank you. Yes, they helped me.
Yeah.
They encouraged me.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I wanted them to see that sometimes we struggle with the application of Scripture.
Yeah.
We know that it's right. But sometimes it's hard. It is hard to apply. In all things, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. In all things. Even when you slam into the garage and there's no one to blame but you. I wish one of the kids had been driving.
Oh, man. Don't say that.
Honestly, Will, you know what? I wish you had been driving. I wish it had been you.
The
so
kids
that I
have
could...
yet to drive, so don't say that.
Yeah, I know. It's true.
Oh, no.
But I'm telling you, here is my point, ultimately, why I share that. When the word of God is precious to us, the residual effect, somewhat, and hopefully the direct effect, is that it will be precious to our children. And that's what we want. We want to teach them to apply the word in real time.
That's awesome. I mean, praise God for helping you through the power of the Holy Spirit to have the response that you had. My response would have been. But praise God for the Holy Spirit.
That's how I felt inside.
But you kept it inside.
That's how I felt inside. And then can I take it just a step further here? So then I've got to call the garage door repair people.
Yeah.
Right? Which, by the way, is my return call to them. So anyway, I got to call them. and the lady's so nice, you know. Yeah. And she says, now, is this an emergency or can we come and see you tomorrow? And I said, well... Can't get the vehicle out. So you know what they do with emergencies?
Yeah.
Be a how bad can I be? The Wansler.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. I love people who work in service. You do what you do and you come when we need, so you charge what you want. All right. Erin the Addisons on American Family Radio. We're going to respond to a call we got on Friday in the last moments of the show, so make sure you stay close.
We can't stay there. There's a seed of righteousness inside of you. Oh,
we fall.
Say now.
But
we get back up again.
Welcome back to Aaron the Addisons on American Family Radio. Thank you so much for listening. Just got a message from one of our listeners. I think you maybe listened to Aaron the Addisons for a number of years. And this person asked the question, why does your voice change on AFR? You sound less militant.
That's funny.
I love it. and so look, everybody's like, well, wait, what does that mean? And then for people who have listened for 6 years, they're like, well, hey, I kind of noticed too, there was a little bit of a difference. So Miki, what's the answer? You'll have to just keep listening. But I love the question, and I appreciate that it's message to us because it shows that you've been hanging with us for a while. So thank you so much. Look, when I'm lit, but I'm not going to manufacture that.
Right.
Like right. It's not a performance. It's genuine. When there is a genuine call for outrage, then you'll hear it.
Yeah.
You'll hear it. But don't say, hey, Miki, do that thing you do where you go off. You know, hey, Miki, do that thing you do where you get lit. No one can do it. Like, I don't know anybody who can manufacture that kind of genuine outrage. But, you know, when there's a call for me to be lit, I'll be lit.
Yeah.
That may shock some people as they continue listening. Sherry B, by the way, is over in Studio CC. Sherry B, thank you so much for being over there. We may open the phone lines a little bit later in the show. Let's move right on into, Will the Great, our discussion for today. We got a call at the end of the show on Friday, and it was a little bit of a lighter show. We had our daughter in with us, and you know, I wasn't really prepared to respond to the caller who called us on Friday. I thought it was a great call, and I would have liked to have more time to, I don't know if dialogue is so much the word as much as respond this caller,
I think,
you know,
yes.
Just with some of my opinion, and I think you felt the same way, respond with some of your opinion, some of your commentary on it as well. Now, for our listeners who were not listening on Friday, we'll play for you the call. This call came from David.
David in Georgia.
In Georgia. All right, roll it.
All right, go to David in Georgia. Hi, David.
Hello, how are y'all today?
Doing good.
I spoke with the bishop that was doing y'all's thing while y'all were on vacation. We didn't get to really talk. I got in on the last of the show like I am today.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow, I would like to say something about reparations. I don't agree with the terminology of African American, because that denotes two, that they have dual citizenship, and I would dare to say that there's probably less than 1% of the Americans that have a different skin color than what I have that have dual citizenship. But nevertheless, all things work together for good. I'm going to shorten this up. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord.
Amen.
And had not there been, slavery was wrong. There's no doubt about it. I'm not saying it was right. I'm saying that had there not been slavery, there would not be near the number of Black Americans in this country right now, because they didn't immigrate from Africa. They didn't have the ability to immigrate from Africa. So I feel like God used slavery to bring y'all over here so that y'all would, you know, be here, be my brethren now, rather than, you know, slavery was done away with. And I know it was wrong, but I still think that, it was used, God used it for good.
All right. So as you could hear, the music was playing,
right.
Which to us is like, that's the store lights turning off.
Like,
that's like everybody's going home. That's the message. So there was not nearly enough time to really unpack that. I want to say that I appreciate David calling.
Yeah.
And I appreciate David identifying himself as our brother in the Lord.
That's right.
And what we want to do is we want to carefully and respectfully, as we do with any call that we go back and deal with. You guys have heard us do this before. This is kind of our pattern. This is what we do, right? And we want to deal with this carefully.
Yeah.
And with a little bit of, I hope, I don't know. I want to say a little bit of instruction,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And a little bit of a warning that we are careful in how we view the sovereignty of God, that we don't inadvertently sort of make sin convenient.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying?
And I know there are a lot of people that would hold that exact same view that David said on Friday. But I think after talking about it, you know,
we talked extensively about it.
There's a lot more in that we should explore, you know, biblically. And,
yes.
You know, and so that's what we wanted to do today, to come back and to say, hold on, you know, everything is set well. And I'll speak for myself with me about the comment. I've heard it before, but just to offer some different perspective on the sovereignty of God as it pertains to what David was talking about. And his call was primarily about, well, he started off about reparations.
That was the context. And I got to tell you, that was the biggest issue that I had with it, is that the context was reparations.
Yeah.
I am 100% against reparations. We have talked about that.
Yeah.
I don't know if we've talked about it so much on this show, but we talked about it when we were doing the morning show.
Right.
I'm 100% against reparations. In fact, we tried to get Adeobi to be on with us from Nigeria because we're trying to make the point that you had Nigerian slave traders, right? These people are living in fear, so to speak, because when Americans start having conversations about reparations, you've got the Nigerians who are like, wait a minute. Will they come for us? Are we going to have to? So it's foolish to start thinking about who pays whom when you're talking about transatlantic slavery. Okay. Let me just say that point blank.
Yeah.
But when reparations becomes the context of the conversation.
Yeah.
And one says, I'm against reparations, but then ultimately circles back to God's sovereignty. Let me tell you what it sounds like. It sounds like nobody owes you anything. You should be grateful to God that you got here.
Yeah, yeah.
That tone lacks grace and understanding that slavery was and is a moral evil.
Yeah.
So we have to be careful. Now, to say that God is sovereign is absolutely 100% true.
Amen.
100%.
Amen.
But when we link the sovereignty of God to moral evil, it is almost in such a way to esteem the evil to say, well, you know, it's good that it happened because look at what it produced. Now, if you want to understand why or how this is problematic, you have to use any other moral evil and then do the same thing with it.
Right. Because if you can't, and if you won't do that, then
then you shouldn't do it with slavery.
Exactly.
So if you don't look at a sex traffic victim who maybe comes to this country as a result of being sold to man after man after man and look at her and say, hey, look, I'm sorry that happened. Nobody really owes you anything because look, you got to America. You started coming to my church.
We wouldn't do that.
And we wouldn't do it with that.
No,
we wouldn't look at any other moral evil and say, hey, look, God is sovereign. And even though that was bad, at least you got here. No, we would put more, listen to me very carefully. We would put a little bit more than daylight between those connections.
Right.
We would encapsulate the moral evil and say this is reprehensible. Mm-hmm. It is to be rejected. We do not affirm it at all.
Right.
And then we would say, but man, I marvel at what God did despite that evil.
Exactly.
Not what he did because of the evil.
Right.
What he did despite that evil.
Yeah.
And that makes a huge difference in our conversation.
Yes, yes.
And I think when we talk about God's sovereignty, we have to make sure that we don't reduce God's sovereignty to our natural understanding. As if, now I want you to, and I don't know that our brother David was suggesting this at all.
Right, right.
But we have to be careful that we don't say, you know, God's sovereignty represents the only way that this could have happened.
And that's what I wanted to say, because even in the beginning of his country, there were Africans, there were people
correct.
Here that came, you know, so it's almost like to say that that's the way that more of you guys would have gotten here is because of slavery. There were other ways that people got here.
That didn't involve turning them into
subjugation,
chattel slavery,
exactly,
and dehumanization. And we have to be careful that we say that.
Yeah.
You know. And let me say this too. The other thing that is problematic for me, and I know, look, there are Christians who are Black. I always leave with the chief first and foremost identity being a Christian.
Amen.
All right. So I'm a Christian, and I'm Black. All right. And again, people would say, well, why does that order matter? Because my first and foremost identity determines all of my engagement.
Yeah.
Everything gets filtered through that.
Oh, you're a Christian and you're a darker shade of brown.
A darker shade of brown. Exactly right. Exactly right. Although, look, let me say something. I know people don't like Black. I know Ken Ham, right? Ken Ham doesn't like Black. He doesn't like white. You know, he likes shades of brown. And that's accurate. And I agree.
Amen.
But let me say this. The term Black American, like if you even to understand Black culture, there is no... Understand me here. There is no worldwide Black culture as we know it without America. Do you understand that what is mimic and what is, you know, I guess mimicked is the best word, is Black American culture.
Mm-hmm.
That does not exist without America. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like you can't separate this culture
right.
from America. And right. I actually wrote about that maybe a year or so ago, because I think it's ridiculous that now what you see happening in our country is that Black Americans or brown, darker brown people are supposed to hate America.
Right.
That's
crazy.
Like to hate America is a certain, like you get to the point where you're almost like you hate yourself. You're American.
Right.
You know, and a lot of this is coming from people who don't travel outside of the country, who have never met people from outside of the country to understand that, first of all, how you're classified is as an American.
Right.
Oh, you speak one language? American. you understand what I'm saying. So anyway, so let me say this, and let me also take it further here. Take it one step further in some of our commentary. I think it's problematic that sometimes when we think of the makeup of heaven, we fail to realize that what God allowed the Apostle John to see was people from different tribes and nations and people groups and languages standing before the throne, before the Lamb. That's Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. And I think it's important for us to understand that heaven is not only populated because hashtag America. It's important for us to understand that throughout history, God has used people of various skin colors to advance the narrative, to get us to the incarnation and then post.
That's
Do you
right.
understand?
That's right.
Now, the reason, and so often I feel like we're looking through the scriptures, we're searching the scriptures, trying to find, you know, where are Black people mentioned? Where are, you know, we're looking for ourselves, right? Which is like the wrong way to approach
right.
the scriptures. Be looking for Christ.
Amen.
I mean, be looking for Jesus Christ when you go to the scriptures, right? Okay. So the reason we often miss ourselves, we're looking for ourselves in scripture and we're looking for Black and we're looking for all of this stuff, is because all throughout creation, there are people of various shades, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they're not primarily defined by their skin color. They're defined by their nationality, by their tribe, by their people group. And how do we know that that aspect of who they are will be redeemed? Because God allows John to see it in Revelation.
That's right.
So the focus is not the skin color. Why? Because it's foolish. And here's why. Because within nations, you have various shades of skin color. Because within tribes and people groups, you have various shades of skin color.
That's right.
So that's why John doesn't say, I saw around the throne, Black people, white people, yellow people, brown people. No, he mentions tribes and he mentions nations and he mentions people groups, because that is how God sees people.
That's on point.
That's now, it doesn't mean that that is to the exclusion of their skin color, which is why, and I tell people this all the time, please see color. When people tell me, I don't see color,
that's
I'm colorblind,
true.
I'm going, no, man, you got to see color. Because God put a lot of work into that. You understand what I'm saying? Like, that's not an accident that you happen to come out the color that you are. Glory to God.
Amen.
We've got to move away from this, you know, this mixing melting pot where everybody just kind of, no, we have different skin colors. This is God's idea.
That's right.
Diversity is God's idea. But I want to say one other thing as we kind of move through this discussion. When the Apostle John notices the various ethnicities around the throne, the tribes and the tongues, color is not mentioned there because it presupposes that within those tribes and within those ethnicities, within those nationalities, that you have different skin color,
right?
One other thing I want to say. To say that if we had not experienced slavery in the United States of America, there would not be Africans, like to say y'all wouldn't be here. We have to be very careful with that because we make America the only way that the gospel could have spread. Please understand that the gospel was spreading before America.
Way before.
In fact, the gospel spread to America. We have to understand that, people.
Right. That's right.
So that means that the gospel will spread beyond America.
That's right.
That's why John was able to see all of these tribes and nations. God is still building his church. He is still building his church. And when we get back, what I want to do is I want to show you something that God did with a 1,000-year time span. A 1,000-year time span where he began to soften the heart of a group of people for the gospel. And then 1,000 years got it to that same group of people.
Wow.
They were in Africa.
Come on now.
All right, we'll grab the break. We'll be right back. Stay close. Life is so complicated, but yet it's so easy. My mind knows the truth, but my flesh don't believe me. Sometimes I gotta be a little bolder, talk a little louder, fight a little harder, just to give them the truth, just to give them the truth. 888-589-8840. If you want to talk to us about anything that we've discussed today, still, if we have time, we're going to talk about Netflix. I don't know. I don't see us getting that. This is what we do. We take our time and we kind of unpack issues. Why? Because we want you to be able to engage the culture while not being swallowed up by it.
That's right. If you
get little tidbits here and there, you may be able to rattle off things, but we feel like if we unpack an issue and discuss
we like to dive deep.
We can dive deep, and then you can be thinking about it yourself. You may disagree with me, but know for sure that you do, right? And how do we get there? By unpacking some of the issues. And so that's what we're going to do. And we're talking about a call that we got on Friday. We didn't want to go into it in part because we didn't have time. We couldn't go into it. And then also, we don't make a big deal about the color of our skin with our kids.
No.
So we didn't want to get into a discussion with that, like that, with our 12-year-old here, because we are teaching them what matters.
Yeah.
And it is not the color of their skin.
That's so good.
So, I mean, you know, anyway, that's food for thought. You put that whatever category you want to put it in. All right. So let me show you something. When we say that without slavery, black people, you know, wouldn't be in this country and they wouldn't have gotten the gospel and all those things. And I'm oversimplifying what David said. That's not exactly what he said. But when we are tempted to think that way, we have to be very careful because we don't want to condescend to make God's sovereignty sort of dependent on evil. You understand what I'm saying? Now, all things work together for good, and that is true.
That's true.
But all things work together for good does not mean all things are good.
Right.
Right? And so that we say, well, you can kind of excuse it because look at what came out of it. We have to be very careful. But let me show you something that God did in the scriptures. Man, it's just amazing when you think of God's love and concern in his heart for the nations, right? The lamb who was slain before the foundations of the earth, right? That men would be redeemed from every nation, tribe,
tongue.
Like, come on, guys. This is what God is doing. So in 1 Kings chapter 10, this is interesting information. Now, there's a little bit of an argument. There's a little bit of almost sort of like a national debate over who the Queen of Sheba belongs to. Okay? The Queen of Sheba, the Ethiopians claim her. The Arabians also claim her. All right. In the research that I did over the weekend, I find a stronger case for the Ethiopians because there is some legend that the Arabians also claim that she had like hooves, like that she had like, you know, goat hooves. And so, you know, I don't know. I just would say that the person who gives her more, you know, I don't know, humanity, I tend to want to go with them. I'm saying that kind of tongue in cheek. So in 1 Kings chapter 10, beginning at verse 1, the Bible gives the account of the Queen of Sheba going to meet Solomon, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the Queen of Sheba goes to meet Solomon. I want you to listen to this and just consider this food for thought. When we talk about the sovereignty of God, our God is in the heavens. He does what pleases him. He can Amen. Do whatever he wants.
That's right.
He's not dependent on evil to advance his kingdom. And I want us to make sure that we understand that. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 10, now when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him. And by the way, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, concerning the fame of Yahweh.
Mm.
When the Queen of Sheba, all right, heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of Yahweh, she came to test him with hard questions. She came to Jerusalem with a very great retinue. That's a great big clan of people going with her, with camels that bore spices, very much gold and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. So Solomon answered all her questions. There was nothing so difficult for the king that he could not explain it to her. And when the Queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his servants, the service of his waiters, and their apparel, his cupbearers, and his entryway, by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. In other words, she fainted. Then she said to the king, "It was a true report which I heard in my own land. It was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. However, I did not believe the words until I came and saw with my own eyes, and indeed, the half was not told me. Your wisdom and prosperity exceed the fame which I heard. Happy are you, or happy are your men, and happy are these servants who stand continually before you and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God, who delighted in you, setting you on the throne of Israel, because Yahweh, look at what the Queen of Sheba says.
Mm.
Because Yahweh has loved Israel forever, therefore he made you king to do justice and righteousness. And I'm going to stop there.
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward 1,000 years later, Philip is called away.
Yeah.
And where is Philip called? Philip is called to meet an Ethiopian who is doing what? He is reading the prophet Isaiah.
Yeah.
So you could make the argument that the Queen of Sheba took this truth of Yahweh worship back to Ethiopia. And in fact, that's what the Ethiopians claim. They claim that the message of Yahweh being the one true and living God got to them. If that is true,
mm-hmm.
and now we have some support to say that it is, because in Acts chapter 8, what does Philip do? Philip responds to the Spirit of God who leads him to go meet this Ethiopian eunuch who's riding in a chariot, reading the prophet Isaiah, and Philip takes off after it. The Spirit of God is like, go get in the chariot,
right.
Go. And so Philip does it, and he gets there, and look at this. So Philip ran and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. This is Acts chapter 8, verse 30. He heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." So the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him.
Mm.
We know that this Ethiopian eunuch accepts Jesus and is baptized. Hey, there's some water. What's to stop me getting baptized right there? And legend has it, church history has it, that this Ethiopian eunuch takes the gospel back to Ethiopia, completing, bringing full circle the work that began 1,000 years ago when the Queen of Sheba went to visit Solomon. Now, why do I tell you all of that? Because we dare not reduce the sovereignty of God to only being able to use wickedness and sinfulness.
Mm.
Now, look, we are all fallen and broken people.
That's right.
So if at the very basic level, he's using all of us, yeah, he's using brokenness, right? But what I'm saying is this. We don't need dehumanization to advance the kingdom.
Amen.
And so we have to put more than daylight between any assertion that, hey, slavery was God's sovereignty because it got black people to America. God is establishing and building his kingdom. It includes Americans, but it also includes nationalities outside of this one.
That's right. That's right.
So we have to be careful that we call sin, sin, that we agree with God about what is wicked, and we can't have a sliding scale because we wouldn't do that with anything else that is abhorrent. We can say, wow. Now, and let me tell you something else, and then I'll go to the phone lines. Here is something else that is important. No? Okay. Here is something else that is important to note. When a person is a victim of trauma, now, you've listened to me long enough, I hope at this point, I reject being a victim. I don't like for people to call me a victim. I don't like for people to pat me on my shoulder. I had an experience where an individual said to one of my children a while back, I'm sorry for what happened to your people. I thought I was going to come out of this brown skin. Do not apologize to me for something that did not directly affect me. You want to know what did more damage to me than the history of American slavery? What did more damage to me was fatherlessness. And if God, by the power of his spirit, allowed me to overcome fatherlessness, then you're going to tell me that my ancestors are still victimizing me today? Are you going to tell me that I'm... Look, keep that, all right? So I don't like being a victim, all right? But for the sake of this discussion, let me say this. If a person is genuinely a victim, the testimony of God's sovereignty belongs to them. It's not my place to walk up to someone who has been molested or who has been raped and say, hey, it's good that you were raped. Look at what your story got you to. That's not my place to say. Mm. It's insensitive. It's unwise. Do you understand? Now, if that person who has been a victim of assault, who has suffered trauma, the Lord leads that person to himself by way of the draw of his Holy Spirit. And that person one day is able to say, man, you know, this was awful in my life. But I'm able to look and see what God did in bringing me to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so I'm at the place now where I can thank him for this. I don't want to live that again, but I can thank him for this.
Yeah.
You know what? That is that person's prerogative to do that. I don't give them that. I don't tell them you should be grateful because at least you got this. That's insensitive and it's unwise.
Mm.
So what am I saying? First of all, let me say this. Will and Miki have darker brown skin. We're not going to continue to have all our issues revolve around the color of our skin.
Oh, no, indeed.
All right. I don't have time for that. Okay. But when the conversation is pertinent, when we need to have the discussion, we will.
Yeah, we won't shy away from it.
But not that's at
not,
all.
Yeah.
So here is my encouragement to the body of Christ. Let us have a genuine biblical worldview, not one that is tempted to take a convenient look at God's sovereignty. If we're going to apply the same definition or the same measure of God's sovereignty as we would do for any other, you know,
sin or
moral depravity, then okay. But if we have a sliding scale, if we do things a little bit differently, let us apply that same grace. Here's the number again, 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. I am in no way questioning God's sovereignty. The Lord is sovereign.
Right.
Absolutely. I am in no way claiming victimhood. I despise that. I despise it. But what I am saying is this. For the church, for the called out ones, we have to make sure that there is no affinity at all, that there is no endearment in our heart for anything that is reprehensible to God, and that we cloak that by saying, well, hey, God is sovereign, so you know he did that for a plan and for a purpose. Listen, we have to say sin is sin, evil is evil, we reject it. I mean, I heard some people, you know, once trying to make a similar argument for abortion. And the argument that they were trying to make for abortion was, hey, look, at least those babies get to go be with God. God is populating heaven. And I go, what? Excuse me? Yeah. Are you kidding me right now? We slaughter babies, pick them apart, trash them, and then we say, hey, at least heaven's being populated. You would never. Then why do we work to end it? Why do we? Because it's morally reprehensible.
That's right.
Because it's wrong. Because it's the taking of innocent life. It's the shedding of innocent blood.
Mm-hmm.
And it's wrong, period. It's wrong even if you apply David's sentiment, he will not come to me, but I will go to him. It's wrong. And so slavery, we put in the same category.
That's right.
To dehumanize a person, to beat them, to rape the women is wrong. And we don't clean it up by saying, hey, God is sovereign. At least you got here and you got the gospel. Mm. We have to be very, very careful with that. All right. And go ahead, Will. I'm sorry.
I think, and sometimes we do it in efforts to make ourselves feel a certain way about it. You know, like we have to be in a position to say wrong is wrong. You know, right is right. And that there should be no sliding scale, like you said. You know, not even if it makes us feel like maybe people in our family, you know, feel better
maybe
about
it. Maybe it was okay.
Yeah.
Maybe it was because God worked something out of that.
Right. And God does work, you know, things out for the good. Like things, you know, but to use it for that and not for other things and wouldn't dare use it for the examples that you've given already, I think, man, we can't do that.
Yeah. So anyway, that's my response. It's a long form response. Do we have a call, Sherry? Okay, we can go to the phone lines. We'll probably be able to squeeze in one call. I would like to say that is not my fault. There was a technical issue because I know people want to blame me. I'm not gonna call names. I like to take responsibility.
Well, we're gonna go to Joshua in Arkansas. Is that right?
Yes, sir. Fort Smith, Arkansas.
Okay, go ahead.
Just to listen to the conversation you guys have had, and wanted to point out two things. First of all, the gentleman from Georgia is incorrect. I don't think that bringing black people to America via slavery worked out in sense of preaching or evangelizing to black people. I think that was taking place anyway, as you guys have mentioned. But I also don't think that was exactly what he was referring to. I think in the context of reparations, the idea is that some people are entitled to some reparations based off of things that took place in the past. And if slavery is one of those, the argument he's presenting is that the nice things that we have in this country would not be available to the people had they not come over here under slaves.
Okay. So, man, we're out of time. We only got 15 seconds. Good grief. All right. So, yeah, I'm trying to understand what our brother here was saying. I'm against reparations. Stop giving me a countdown, Will. All right. Until tomorrow, Lord willing.
God bless.